Welcome to this week's Real AI Podcast, based on the first and most popular weekly newsletter about real estate and artificial intelligence for real estate agents and brokers. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy, and these are the highlights from this week's Real AI newsletter for the week of April 7th, 2026. Now, here are your AI hosts, Miles and Grace.
You know, there is this this really fascinating moment that happens in like almost every science fiction movie.
Oh, yeah. Like when the tech just becomes normal.
Exactly. The futuristic, mind-bending gadget, you know, whether it's a teleportation pad or a warp drive or whatever, it stops being this magical plot device and just kind of becomes part of the furniture.
Right. The novelty completely wears off.
Yeah. The characters aren't marveling at the technology anymore. They're just deeply annoyed that the warp drive is making a weird humming noise and holding up their commute.
Right. The initial shock of the impossible just fades away and pure utility takes over. I mean, the extraordinary just becomes the mundane infrastructure of everyday life.
Totally. Because today, our mission is to unpack how that exact transition is happening right in front of our eyes with artificial intelligence.
It really is.
We are officially moving past the hype phase. We're past the era of treating AI like a shiny new parlor trick, and we are looking at how it's fundamentally rewiring a massive traditional industry that touches literally everyone.
Yeah.
And that is real estate.
Yeah. And what we were examining for you today is a landscape where AI is, it's no longer just this theoretical concept discussed in, you know, Silicon Valley boardrooms.
Right.
It's an everyday operational tool. And the dynamic we're seeing play out right now is wild. The technology is simultaneously getting drastically cheaper and incredibly more capable.
Which is crazy to think about.
It is. But at the same time, it's creating incredibly complex new friction points that professionals are suddenly forced to navigate on, like a random Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, a random Tuesday. Exactly.
Yeah.
And to understand the actual mechanics of this shift, we're pulling from a really robust stack of sources for you today.
We've got a lot to cover.
We really do. Our primary material comes from the Real AI newsletter, which is put together by Kevin Hawkins, who is essentially known as the Real AI Guy in the business, and authored the Real AI Guide for Real Estate Agents, along with his son, Corey Hawkins.
Right. They curate this weekly breakdown of the industry's intersection with machine learning.
Yep. And we're also looking at a set of rapid-fire industry stats from All About AI, and a recent flurry of technology headlines that show just how messy this transition is actually getting.
And honestly, the best place to start seeing this shift from, you know, sci-fi magic to basic plumbing is by looking at the raw economics.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the pricing models the major tech companies are using right now are entirely counterintuitive.
Yeah, so the newsletter highlights this massive recent change. ChatGPT Business just dropped its price from $50 down to $40 a month.
Right.
Which means for a team or a brokerage, the cost breaks down to essentially $20 per agent.
Yeah, $20.
Which is the exact same price as the standard individual consumer version of ChatGPT. But the business tier offers, you know, significantly more power and security.
Right. And Kevin Hawkins refers to this in the newsletter as a glimpse into the, quote, golden age of AI.
The golden age. I love that.
Yeah, because we are living in this highly specific window of time where users can extract thousands of dollars of daily operational business value for the cost of like a few cups of coffee.
But wait, okay, let's unpack this. Because if this tool is getting exponentially more powerful, why drop the price?
Well,
I mean, it's like leasing a car that somehow gets faster, safer, and cheaper the more miles you put on it.
That's a great way to put it.
Right, but aren't they just creating a monopoly? Like, they might be losing money in the short term, but they are rewiring our habits so we never even consider leaving. Aren't we just getting locked in so we can't afford to leave later?
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. The mechanism you just described is exactly what's driving this pricing model. It's ecosystem lock-in.
Lock-in.
OpenAI is cutting costs by 20% on their enterprise tier. Not out of charity, obviously, but to artificially lower the barrier to entry while raising the ceiling of capability.
Make it too good to pass up.
Exactly. The strategy is to make the tool so deeply embedded into a real estate agent's daily workflow. I mean, from drafting contracts to organizing client communications, that trying to switch to a competitor like Google or Anthropic would cost the agent vastly more in lost productivity than they would ever save in subscription fees.
Wow. So if the overarching goal is to hook the user so deeply they can't leave, We need to look at what's actually doing the hooking.
The actual capabilities, yeah.
Right. The newsletter points out that ChatGPT Business is a phenomenal marketing machine. It can churn out emails, social posts, property brochures.
Oh, easily.
It writes so well that, honestly, your mother couldn't tell the difference. But frankly, generating marketing copy feels like table stakes at this point.
Oh, 100%.
That isn't what creates unbreakable ecosystem lock-in, is it?
No, not at all. If a professional is only using AI as a high-speed content generator, they're completely missing the profound architectural shift of the technology.
So what's the real shift then?
The real stickiness comes from the AI acting as a cognitive amplifier.
A cognitive amplifier?
Yeah, the source material describes the business tier as having the world's smartest intern working beside you, but one that has persistent memory.
Okay, meaning it remembers the context of your previous interaction.
Exactly.
You aren't just starting from a blank slate every time you open a new chat window.
Okay.
If you tell it you prefer, say, aggressive negotiation tactics or that you specialize in mid-century modern homes,
right.
It just bakes that context into every subsequent task.
Right. It evolves with the user, and that allows for entirely new, high-value use cases. Hawkins highlights a few in the newsletter that are just wild.
Like what?
Well, instead of just writing a blog post, this system can instantly digest and explain incredibly dense, complex real estate documents.
Oh.
Yeah, or it can generate immediate, highly specific client talking points before you walk into a really difficult meeting.
That's huge.
It can even act as an on-demand private role-play coach. So an agent can practice a tense negotiation over, say, a flawed home inspection before actually making the real phone call.
Okay, that is amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was one application mentioned in the sources that completely stopped me in my tracks.
Oh, the emotional decoding.
Yes. The newsletter notes you can feed the AI a client's email or a text message, and it will act as an emotional decoder ring.
It's fascinating.
It's crazy. It will analyze the subtext, point out the underlying emotional signals like, you know, hidden anxiety about closing costs or frustration with the timeline, and then helps you craft the most sensitive, perfectly calibrated response.
It's literally identifying the human friction in the text and offering a strategy to smooth it out.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though.
Yeah.
If we are relying on a machine to analyze the emotional state of a home buyer, are we outsourcing our empathy? Because the relationship is supposed to be the core value of a real estate professional.
Hmm.
If an algorithm is telling the agent when to be sensitive, it feels like we're hollowing out the human connection.
See, you could look at it that way. Or you could argue it's actually providing the mental bandwidth to be entirely present when it actually matters.
Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, processing complex emotional subtext across dozens of client emails a day causes immense cognitive fatigue.
Oh, sure. I get exhausted just reading my own inbox.
Right. So if a system can flag that a client is expressing subtle anxiety in an email, the agent doesn't just, you know, copy and paste a robotic response. They pick up the phone. They use that AI-generated insight to inform a genuine human-to-human conversation. It removes the guesswork, which actually gives the agent the bandwidth to apply their empathy much more efficiently.
Okay, I see that. I can definitely see how that efficiency translated to the bottom line.
Yeah.
Especially when we look at the specific use cases the newsletter brought up, like testing out different image generation models.
Oh, yeah, the nano banana test.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. They playfully called out this highly specific prompt, the nano banana, to see how ChatGPT Business handled original image creation compared to Google Gemini. And ChatGPT Business apparently handled it flawlessly, totally surpassing Gemini.
It's an arms race right now to provide the best tools.
Yeah, it really is.
Right.
But with all this power, there is a massive hidden liability.
The security liability.
Yeah.
This is huge. For brokers and executives managing multiple listing services, you know, those massive databases that house all regional property and seller information, their biggest nightmare right now is something called shadow AI.
Shadow AI. That's essentially the unauthorized, invisible use of consumer-grade tools by employees, right?
Exactly. It's when an agent decides to use a free public AI model to do their job without the brokerage even knowing.
Right.
And the mechanics of this are incredibly dangerous. Large language models learn by ingesting data. So if a real estate agent takes a highly confidential client contract, complete with like social security numbers, financial disclosures, proprietary negotiation strategies, and they paste it into a public AI to quickly summarize it, that sensitive data is now absorbed into the model's training set.
So it effectively becomes public knowledge.
Depending on the model, yeah. If someone else prompts the AI in a specific way later, it could theoretically output your client's confidential financial details.
That is terrifying.
Which is exactly why the security architecture of the business tier is so heavily emphasized in the newsletter. It provides bank-level, enterprise-grade security where user data is explicitly walled off. It is never used to train the underlying model.
Got it.
And that lock-in strategy we discussed earlier, it relies heavily on this. A brokerage will essentially force all its agents onto the secure $40 a month platform just to mitigate the catastrophic legal risk of shadow AI.
That structural shift really explains why the adoption numbers are starting to skyrocket. And I want to get into the data here, because Corey Hawkins pulled a rapid-fire series of statistics from All About AI that illustrate this massive financial divide opening up in the industry.
Let's hear them.
Okay, so looking at the operational side first, 63% of surveyed real estate companies are reporting actual, measurable revenue increases after integrating AI.
That's a huge majority.
Right. And 49% are seeing hard cost reductions.
Wow.
Plus, 74% of property management companies have already automated their task management. And overall, 87% of brokers view AI as beneficial, not a threat.
The industry is clearly seeing the financial reward. But, you know, the statistic from that data set that really dictates the future of the market actually comes from the consumer side.
So the millennial step.
Yes. 89% of millennial homebuyers surveyed report that they are already using online resources and AI tools for their house hunting.
So what does this all mean? With 89% of millennials using AI, the clients are practically arriving at the showing with their own AI intern.
Exactly. The professional no longer has the luxury of being the sole gatekeeper of market data. The consumer has completely bypassed the gate. This means real estate professionals aren't just adopting AI to gain a competitive edge over other agents anymore. They are adopting it simply to maintain parity with their own clients.
My question is, with 63% seeing revenue bumps and 49% cutting costs, and the clients already using it, why isn't adoption at 100%? What is actually holding the rest of the industry back?
Well, the hesitation comes from the messy reality of implementing pristine code into the chaotic physical world. We are hitting serious friction points and growing pains.
Like the technology alienating the very people it's supposed to serve.
Exactly. And the headlines curated in the newsletter this week showcase exactly how bad that friction can get. Let's look at the New York Post piece.
Oh, the staging disaster.
Yeah. The headline reads, AI home staging is creating unrealistic expectations for buyers. My client walked out within minutes.
Man, that's brutal.
It is a perfect example of technology breaking the human trust required for a transaction. AI staging allows an agent to take a photo of an empty, maybe somewhat dingy living room, and digitally generate beautiful mid-century furniture, perfect lighting, flawless hardwood floors for the online listing.
And it looks incredible on a smartphone screen.
It does. But the mechanism of a real estate transaction requires a physical walkthrough. So when a buyer falls in love with this digitally perfected illusion online and then walks through the front door of the actual empty, echoing house,
the cognitive dissonance has to be jarring.
Extremely jarring. The technology didn't enhance the property. It actively created a feeling of deception. The buyer feels tricked, and the trust in the agent is just instantly destroyed.
Right. It's like, we've handed everyone power tools, but some people are using them to accidentally knock down load-bearing walls, like with that AI home staging disaster. We have the power, but we clearly lack the finesse.
That is a brilliant analogy, and we are seeing these systemic failures beyond just the visual realm. We're hitting hard infrastructure limits, too.
Like what PC World reported this week.
Yes, exactly. They reported that Anthropic, the company behind the Claude AI model, experienced such a sudden, massive surge in users that their servers simply couldn't handle the compute load.
Oh, wow.
They were forced to tighten their usage limits and intentionally throttle the speed of the entire system for everyone. The physical infrastructure of these data centers just cannot instantly scale to meet the exponential demand.
These bottlenecks.
Exactly. And Mashable highlighted another integration failure, OpenAI's launch of ChatGPT Voice inside Apple's CarPlay.
Which sounds like a great idea on paper.
It sounds incredibly useful for an agent rushing between showings. But the reality is that the integration is missing crucial features and is severely limited to just answering basic trivia. It can't deeply integrate with the car's navigation or the user's specific workflow.
And meanwhile, as the tech kind of strains under its own weight, the broader industry shifts are massive. The headlines show it's affecting everything. Axios reports that nearly 50% of college students are actively reconsidering their majors due to AI.
We're watching a generational pivot in real time.
Yeah. And Creator reports California is emerging as the national testing ground for multi-pronged AI regulation.
Right. Trying to legally define what these systems can actually do and who holds the liability.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you have Housing Wire noting that AI use in real estate is evolving from just simple lead response to highly complex CRM and call coaching.
It's getting so deeply embedded.
And Topranks mentions OpenAI is even adding Codex-only workspaces.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, Codex is essentially the pure programming brain of the AI model. OpenAI realizes that a massive software company doesn't need to pay for an AI that can write poetry or analyze a real estate contract. They just need the machine to write code. So they are unbundling the technology, allowing companies to buy access to only the specific neural pathways they need.
It's a total fracturing of the market.
It really is. And all of this lack of finesse, the looming regulations, the system failures, is exactly why the WAV Group headline in the newsletter is so urgent.
Right. The executive shift.
Yes. It states that it is time for real estate leaders to stop being spectators to AI development and act as operators. Waiting is just no longer an option.
Right you are, Grace. And that's this week's Real AI podcast. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI guy, and until next week, keep it real.